God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So how is your preaching going? You know, I get that question, or a variation of that question, fairly regularly. It often happens when I've been asked to go somewhere else to be a guest preacher, and when I get back, someone will ask, well, how'd it go? When I'm asked that, I honestly have to say, I don't know. I'm not really a very good judge of my preaching. You, the people who for some reason keep showing up, are a much, much better judge of my preaching than I am. And I enjoy the feedback. I enjoy, you know, hearing how you think it's going, the good and the bad. But sometimes when people ask about my preaching, they mean something like this: how's it going for you? Is it fun? Is it a lot of work? Is there any alternative? And the answer to those questions, at least for me, is yes, yes, and no. Yeah, it's fun. I really do enjoy preaching. That hasn't always been the case. One of my biggest concerns when I left my first parish was the fact that I was now going to have to write a sermon every week. See, I worked with another pastor in my first church, and we shared that responsibility. But what I discovered was that the more regularly I preached, the more satisfying it really was. And yes, it's a lot of work, not only in terms of having to write a sermon every week, but many of you know that I'm actually an introvert. And I'll say that again, an introvert. Personality tests actually have made that clear. And it isn't so much that I get nervous or uncomfortable in front of people as long as I have something to say, but doing so or being before a large group takes work for me. On Sunday afternoon, I'm pretty worn out. I enjoy doing this, but it is draining for me because I'm an introvert. And no, there's no alternative. Now, I'd imagine some would be pretty upset if you came to church and I said that my week had been so busy I just didn't have time to write a sermon. Or maybe not. Now, that excuse may fly once or twice, but I think people would begin to quickly wonder what's up if I said that on a regular basis. This is one of the main things that you've called me to do, and this is what you expect of me. But even more than that, I do this because I truly believe this is what God has called me to do. As a pastor, my responsibility and privilege is to proclaim this wonderful thing we call the good news. Much more important than disappointing you or having my salary cut, I'm propelled to preach by God Himself. The message that Jesus has accomplished our salvation through His life, death, and resurrection, and that He offers that mercy and forgiveness as a free gift of His grace to people everywhere, is the greatest news sinners like you and me could ever hear. Now, what about you? How's your preaching going? You know, there are probably many ways you might respond to that. Some of you might say you've given up on preaching. You know, we all know that that word, preaching, isn't always seen in the most positive terms. When used in conversation outside of church, it often has the connotation of scolding or criticizing or having some sort of a superior attitude. People who aren't church folk, well, even some people who are, don't like the word preaching because that's exactly what they think of. And quite honestly, that kind of preaching deserves the negative reputation it's earned. And it quite honestly needs to stop because it has nothing to do with the kind of preaching that the Bible talks about. The words translated preaching in the Bible, in fact, the words translated preach and preaching in our gospel and epistle readings this morning, have nothing to do with superior attitudes, scolding, or criticizing. These words actually give the picture of announcing good news. Something has happened that you're going to want to hear about. Something important, exciting, and joyful has happened, and I can't wait to tell you. That's what the word preach means as it's used in the Bible. It's good news. In fact, it's the best news. God wants people to know how much he loves them. And he's asked you to tell them just that. We don't usually think of preaching that way. There have been times when people have told me after I preached, I sure wish this person or that person had been here today. I cringe when I hear that, honestly. When I hear this, I try very hard to put the best spin on it, because there have been many times when what that person means is, boy, you really told them off today, Pastor. And that's not the kind of preaching that I strive for. What I hope happens when I preach is that you get so excited, you're going to want to go out and say, you're not going to believe what I heard in church today. God has something you just need to hear, and I hope that I can talk about it in the way that I heard it. That's the kind of preaching the world needs. And preaching, that kind of preaching, is what the Bible talks about. The kind of preaching that Jesus and Paul did. And that kind of preaching isn't just for church professionals. Jesus wants you, wants everyone who loves him and follows him, to be excited about the good news that he came to deliver. He wants you and me to be propelled to preach. Now, I want you to hear that right. You can understand the idea of being propelled the wrong way. A bullet's propelled from a gun, and we know what happens when that happens. Or a rock is propelled from a sling, and we know the damage that can happen from that as well. Or, as we'll see this afternoon, a football is propelled from a quarterback's hand, and hopefully something good happens, unless you're not rooting for that team. And players are propelled by their adrenaline to knock one another down. Now, in each of those cases, the thing being propelled is being forced to do something, whether they want to or not. But we're not propelled to preach in the sense that we are forced to do it. Rather, God wants us to do it because we know how important it is. The New International Version of the Bible translates verse 16 of our epistle lesson this way. Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. And we heard that verse this way earlier. If I preach the gospel, that gives me no ground for boasting, for necessity is laid upon me. Paul says that his delivering of the gospel to other people is a necessity. In other words, it's vitally important. Now, he isn't saying that he can't stop himself from doing that, as if he's some sort of a puppet on a string. Rather, much like me, Paul says that he has a responsibility to do this. It's what God has told him to do. But Paul doesn't see this as an unwanted burden. His is a joyful task. And although you may not be called to do this on a full-time basis like Paul or maybe like me, God certainly wants you to experience joy in sharing his love and forgiveness with others too. Last week we heard that Jesus cast a demon out of a man, and this week we heard that he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law as well as others in that town and cast out other demons. Well, the next morning after healing Simon's mother-in-law, I should say, he got up early and he slipped out of the house to be alone to pray. Now, when his disciples woke up, they couldn't find him. They saw that he was gone, and knowing that he regularly went out somewhere else to do these kind of things, they went out to find him. And when they did, what did they do? They tried to compel him, to force him to come back. They'd gotten a taste of success and they liked it, so they wanted Jesus to return because they said, what? Everyone is looking for you. But Jesus tells them that there are others who need to hear the good news too. Jesus was under a divine compulsion. He knew how important it was that people hear and see what the reign and the rule of God was all about. Even though it would have been nice to stay around those who were patting him on the back and congratulating him on a job well done, his mission was to go to other places so more could see and hear. Jesus was propelled to preach, compelled to keep moving, moving ultimately for him to the cross, to humiliation, to death. But that would bring the ultimate good news for all of humanity. Now, maybe you're saying, well, that was then, this is now. That was all right for Jesus and Paul. Maybe it's even all right for you, Pastor. I just can't do it. Believe me, I understand. I do. Because I struggle too. It's easy for me to get up here and do my job. I don't have I know that I have a receptive audience. In fact, I'm quite literally preaching to the choir. But like you, I don't find it always easy to go out there. I don't find it easy any time to go out there not knowing how I'll be received or if what I say will even make a difference. If Easter was 1 week later, the Epiphany season that we're in would be 1 week longer. It's just common sense, just do the math. But if so, we would have heard the story of Naaman from the book of 2 Kings next week. I don't know if you're familiar with the story of Naaman. Naaman was a general in the Syrian army. And Naaman was cured of leprosy by immersing himself in the Jordan River after Elisha the prophet told him to do so. But he almost didn't do it. He almost didn't do it because he couldn't believe that something as simple as dipping himself in this muddy river could do such an amazing thing, especially considering there were so much better rivers back in his own hometown. Maybe that's one of the reasons why we don't tell others about Jesus. It's hard for us to believe that what we say will have any effect on them. Why should they believe me? But God tells us that we're not to worry about that because it isn't about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. When we tell others the good news that God loves them, cares for them, wants to be with them, it's His job to bring them to faith. We're just the messengers. Now, you know what they say about messengers. Sometimes they get shot. It's a great comfort to me as I get up here each week knowing that what I'm doing isn't about me. Anything that happens with what I say is in God's hands, not mine. And that's true also for you as it is for me. When you tell others about God's love for you and your love for Him, there will be results. Some will hear and joyfully respond. Just as God's word has had its effect on you, it'll have its effect on some of those you speak to. God will bring them to faith in Jesus. Now, you may never see the fruits of that labor, but then again, you may. And if you do, it's a beautiful and joyful thing. But there are others who will hear what you say and reject it, maybe even reject you. And you'll likely hear all kinds of excuses or reasons for why they don't believe. You'll probably feel discouraged and frustrated because you can't answer all their questions or counter all their arguments. And when that happens, it's very easy to blame yourself for not being better prepared, for not knowing your Bible better. And if that happens, it's easy to get discouraged, to say it's pointless. You just aren't good at this kind of thing. But when you start thinking that, you need to remember that it isn't about you. You're just the messenger. You don't save anyone. God does. So here's what I'm asking you to do. Preach to others. Be courageous and preach. What you have to share is really, really good news. But preach with humility and kindness and gentleness. Something important, exciting, and joyful has happened. And just as God wants you to know how much He loves you, He wants to use you to let others know that he loves them as well. Now, does that mean that he loves everything they do? Of course not. He doesn't love everything you do either. He doesn't love everything I do. But just as you know that God has patience with you, you know that he will have patience with them too. In fact, you can tell them just that, because that's something they need to hear too. You know, most people believe that God will only love them if they do all the right things. But by letting them know that you struggle with your sin, but that you hang in there because you know that God won't give up on you, you can tell them that as they struggle with their sin, God won't give up on them either. And that's really, really good news. Amen.